Okay, there's two booklets to two separate handouts to take for tonight, because tonight I want to accomplish two things. I want to finish up the sugya of Amazon deliveries and packages, and I would like to, hopefully we'll have the time, to discuss a little bit about Parsha Shkolim, the halacha and some interesting ideas, halacha, some lumdis that pertains to Parsha Shkolim. Very, very quick recap. We've been discussing over the last couple of weeks. I never intended this to go on for 3 weeks, but Baruch Hashem, there's always what to talk about. And the more times I've been giving this shurim a couple times already, different venues, I've actually learned a lot about how Amazon works. I was a big Amo Eretz in Amazon. I still am. But the more times I give this shurim, more people teach me and educate me. And people reach out to me and they tell me things that I possibly don't know, the Metzius. And I'm starting to learn a lot more about Amazon and Amazon Prime and things like that. But we've been discussing over the last few weeks a halachic issue that can happen when you order things late on Friday with the guarantee. And this is one of the things I learned, that there is no such thing as guarantee even in the Amazon Prime world. There is no legalities that you can take against Amazon if your package comes late. There's no legal rights that you have to demand anything. It's all really what we call preferred. You'd like it to come and they promise it, but if their package does not come within 24 hours, you cannot sue them, nor do you get a refund. This is what I was told. Could be it's not true. I didn't check it out. Someone mentioned this to me, and if that's the case, then it is interesting that there's no such real guarantee, because we saw there were Paiskim who discussed that that's like express mail. We mentioned that there was a tshuva last week. We ended off with this from the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, who permitted express mail on Friday. Why? Because he said express mail is not guaranteed. Even though they tell you they're delivering it on Saturday, we both know that's wishful thinking. There's absolutely no guarantee it's going to happen on Saturday. All they're doing is they're putting your letter in front of the basket, and hopefully it'll get out whenever it gets out. So we mentioned last week, but Amazon, they're promising you. And this fellow told me they're not promising you anything legally. If they tell you it's going to come within 24 hours and it doesn't, there's nothing you can do. The answer is you're hoping, you're assuming, you know. So if that's true in a Metzius level, which I don't know it is, that might change the halachic ramifications. But we just to recap from the last 2 weeks, we've been discussing, is it permissible to send a package? Now, what would the halachic issue be? The halachic issue would be Amir Lenachri. When I place an order late on Friday, and I tell them and I demand of them I want it to be delivered on Shabbos, I am in essence asking a guy to do melacha for me on Shabbos, which is obviously the Isra of Amir Lenachri. We mentioned last week, and the big kula over here is based on a tshuva from the Chavis Yoyer, that he holds that even though Amir Lenachri is Asr, but Amira le Amira, to ask a guy, to ask another guy, would be permissible. The Avodah Zarah Gershuni, a contemporary of the Chavis Yoyer, disagreed. The Chassam Sofer ruled that you can use the Chavis Yoyer if it happens on Friday, which is what our case is, but the Ber Halacha seemed to have rejected that. And then we left off that it seems to be questionable. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say you can only use the Chavis Yoyer if it's a Tzarech Gadol, if it's a pressing reason, then it would be permissible. Other than that, it would not seem to be permissible. And we concluded last week's shiur with a tshuva from Dayan Weiss, the where he discusses express mail, and he permits express mail. Well, he actually says that everyone is doing express mail on Friday, and he thought the suggestion of permissibility was because they're not really guaranteeing same-day delivery. They're saying it's going to be on Saturday, but there really is no guarantee. So let's move on from there. Yeah.
Make, like, for instance, Amazon, we have this two-day thing. Right. Most of
the time,
they're good. Once in a while, it's happening.
Right, but
the Metzius is that Ruba to Ruba, it does happen.
Right, but at the end of the day, they're still, at the end of the day, you're not being mitzava them directly, because they know that your tzivoy is watered down. Your tzivoy is not a real tzivoy. Meaning, if I tell the guy I want it done here, and if not, I'm not paying for it, if this, that, and the other. Here, it's merely a suggestion. I would like it to be done, but I'm not directing the guy to do it on Shabbos. This is what, really what the Minchas Yitzchak is suggesting. Now, you can argue on that premise, and you can say, no, I'm really asking it to be done on Shabbos, and now if it doesn't get done on Shabbos, no, there's nothing I can do. But really, in essence, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? Am I really telling the guy to do it on Shabbos, but if you can't get it done on Shabbos, it's okay? Or I'm telling the guy, get it done as soon as you can. If it's Shabbos, I didn't say that, or it's debatable. It's a debatable hetter.
The wording is, order within, let's say, 4 hours and 10 minutes for delivery on Saturday.
Right, but they'll tell you. Right, so the question is, so when I say click on that button, am I essence saying deliver this on Shabbos, or I'm saying, okay, deliver it as soon as you can, whenever you get around to it, which could be Shabbos, could be Sunday, could be Tuesday. It's questionable. So there's another hetter that we'll discuss tonight from Rebbe Eliyahu Falk Zatzal, who was just recently nifter. He was a big dayan in Gateshead, I believe. So Rebbe Eliyahu Falk has a tshuva in a sefer called the Machse Eliyahu, where he's also discussing express mail. He's not discussing Amazon, because I think this tshuva was written before they had Amazon, but he was discussing express mail. So we'll start over here. Your page should say page 3, Machze Elio on the right corner, if everyone's in the right page. There are two handouts. One handout we'll get to hopefully after we finish the first handout will be on Parsha Shkol. So he writes, Zag de Mach Zelio. So he comes up with a whole list of reasons why he thinks express mail on Shabbos is mutter, and some of them are relevant to Amazon. His first answer is, he thinks it's what we call a riboy bishurim. He sets up the following equation. He says like this. When I send, let's say, an express letter to be delivered on Saturday, he says, you think I'm the only person that sent express mail to be delivered on Saturday? The mailman or the mail carrier is only delivering my one letter? Of course not. There are many people that want letters to be sent out on Saturday. And those are not Jews, which is okay. So he says, when the guy or the delivery man mails one extra letter, he's not doing malacha just for me, he's doing malacha for me and others. So what's that called, says Rebbe Falk? That's called riboy bishur. He's doing a thing which is asur, but he's just only adding on for me. So therefore he concludes the following. He says that if he concludes that, or we'll read it in size, he writes this. He says you can always assume that there are more letters being sent out except for just you. So without you, the guy would still come to this community. He's talking about like probably like an apartment building, but he's saying look, the community. The guy would anyways come to this community because the guy will live in this community. Now again, that might not be true if you live in a very heavily dense Orthodox community. You can't tell me that the guy is going to come to a group. Let's again, today chooses, you know, people give Williamsburg as an example, but it's not really a fair example because Williamsburg, if anyone's ever been to Williamsburg recently, you know there's the Hasidish part, and then there's the yuppie part that are not Jewish, and they're not too far from each other. So it's very possible the driver came down to Williamsburg, not only for, you know, the Lee Avenue and the Jewish blocks, but they all block over. He's going ready to the Gaisha non-Jewish blocks. So. Right, so a place like Lakewood gets a little bit more tricky. Some of these communities are mamish, all Orthodox Jews, so he drove down here just for the Jews, empties the box just for the Jews, then goes back home. Then it would be questionable. But let's assume for most of us, right, even let's say here in the five towns, there are other deliveries spread out along, you know, Nassau County or whatever, presumably, again, you might argue many of them are Jewish also. Just not religious, it gets a little tricky. But again, you could assume that there are other non-Jews that are getting packages from Amazon on Shabbos. So therefore, he says, it's riboy bishurim, I'm just adding more, and therefore that's okay. He says, v'imken idea, mechtov shemolech avurenu, hu rak ma'abe b'sher hoitzah. The guy is just doing more hoitzah. She'oise b'lav achi, he would do anyways without me. So he says, v'kvar is barid, the riboy bishurim, me'melecha shvos de Shabbos, idea akom ein b'yisr. He says, because it's only yisr de Rabbanon, and you have to work out why is it only yisr de Rabbanon. So he says, the reason why it's Nisad Rabbanon is because, what, I mean, the obvious question is, it's Haitzah. You're taking an object from Rosh Hashanah, the Amazon delivery, and you're going through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the streets and the highways, then you're delivering it to your house. Isn't that Haitzah? So he says, no, that's going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's only Malacha de Rabbanon. Ah, you're stopping in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So he says, no, that stopping Rosh Hashanah Rabbim was not for me. I never asked him to stop. I'd rather he pick it up in the Amazon factory and bring it, never stop, go straight to my house. Now there's a technical problem. It's called like red lights and like, you know, you gotta stop, but he doesn't discuss it. He just says, no, besides me, I don't want him to stop. I'd rather he never stop. Go straight. So therefore he thinks it's only Nisid Rabbanon. So that's heter number one he has, Riba Bishurim. Again, in certain communities this might not work because it's heavily Orthodox communities. Heter number two is
how is it double?
It's not a shvus to shvus. It means Amir l'nochmi is a nisa de Rabbanon, and the thing you're asking the guy to do would only be nisa de Rabbanon. The delivery of the letter is only nisa de Rabbanon, and therefore it's only riba bish, meaning normally shvus to shvus is not mutter. I can't ask a guy to do a malach de Rabbanon for no tzarech mitzvah. But over here, it's shvus to shvus, it's Amir l'nochmi de Rabbanon number one. The thing he's doing is a malach de Rabbanon, and it's only riba bish urim. That's why Dr. Rabbi Falk says that's mutter.
But he is, it seems that he is calling
it
because
it's
the Rebbe Shurim,
that's what it means over here. It's Shus to Shus because it's Amir L'Nachri, plus the fact that the guy is only doing a Derabon. Now again, when the guy drives the car, that might not be a Derabon. When he pushes the gas and makes the brakes, that might be the Raisas. I don't know how I'll get around that. He sounds like he's talking about a good old-fashioned mail delivery man. You know, but it's just walking. Today, when you get into the car, I don't know if this will be so helpful anymore. That's Pashtus and the Raisa. Unless you argue the guy decides to drive the car. He could always walk the packages. It's not so practical. These big, heavy boxes, he's going to walk around.
Can you just go bust a road there if the guy versus a Jew?
Well, that was a different question that we had. But yeah, but even if you assume it's a guy. But again, the guy is doing Malacha the Raisa on my behalf. It's no longer...
How do I know it's not a Jew?
Yeah, that was a question we mentioned this last week. Should we discuss this? That why are we not concerned? Yeah, Ramesh is true about the post office. Uh-huh. So we suggested, why don't we... So someone who listens to the Shurim, a Talmud of mine, told me how it works, that it is outsourced somewhat, but not the way I was assuming it. It's not like Uber. It's a little different system of how they outsource it. But I guess, like Rav Moshe said, you don't have no reason, unless someone starts to tell you, you know, we've studied and we found out that the, you know, majority of these delivery men are Jewish, we don't have to assume that they are.
So if they loaded up the truck on Erev Shabbos,
right,
but then they did the deliveries on Shabbos,
right,
for the whole community,
right,
and then they carried your package from the truck to your front door,
which they're always going to do. So he'll have to tell you that there's no malach. You'll have to come up with a way that, okay, so if you have an Erev, so there really is no malach involved in carrying it from the truck to my house. If you don't have an Erev, then you're going to have to get a little bit more creative. Now, the other argument is, but the object was picked up in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and it traveled through Rosh Hashanah. Some of it was Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, somewhere where Amazon factory till here was no Erev, right? It wasn't like there was an Erev perfect from everywhere.
No, but I'm saying that they loaded the truck on Erev Shabbos before there was...
Right, so it started off in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and then it made its way to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and went through the Rosh Hashanah. So that's questionable. That's his assumption. And his second heter is what we've been discussing for the last two... We're on page 3. There's two different handouts today. One is continuation from last week, and one is a new list of Maamar Mekaymus, which I hope to get to today with...
Yeah, page 3, yeah.
We're on page 3. So Rabbi Falk, so he says, I have another heter. I have a heter, what we call Amira La Amira. And we know this heter. This is the Chavis Yair's heter, that it's Amira La Amira. We also know that this is questionable, because A, the Avodah Seger Shuni disagrees with the Chavis Yair, and B, the Chassam Sofer was... The Chassam Sofer agreed to the Chavis Yair on Friday, but the Mishnah Berurah seemed to have rejected it. So we did mention last week how Rabbi Falk tried to answer up the kasha of the mechab of the Ber Halacha, but nonetheless the Ber Halacha still seemed to disagree with him, and therefore he concludes at the last paragraph. He says, "Olam mikol anal, the meravchim heimot study het." He thinks there's a lot of reasons to justify express mail on Friday. Chada, first of all, tahave amir laakum laharbas bishur eshvus. It's only riboy on a derabbanan. Shane, the second reason, tahave amir laharbas bishur manemeres meirav Shabbos, this also took place on Friday. The mutal ladas eshvus Yankiv. Shlishis, tahave amir laamira. It's the Chavis Yair according to the Chassam Sofer. Fourth, he writes, and this is complicated. He writes because there's a prima godim who says the ain shiluach hamichtavim shlichu shabale hamichtavim klal rak meseder hamedina. At least in the mail world, the express mail also, he says, they're not working for me, they're working for the government. Now that's not true over here. Here they're clearly working for me. So therefore he comes out at the end that he thinks express mail is 100% permissible.
So who are you dropping something for the post office?
Yeah, that we mentioned already last. That's for sure fine. We mentioned already last week. So if you're sending it from the post office, he has a new sniff lahakka. That even if you're going to do express mail from the post office on Friday with guaranteed delivery on Shabbos, it's still that the everything is back to the government. It's not really you. It's that there's government involvement in the mail, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. Okay, that wouldn't be true for FedEx or UPS. Those are private-owned companies. There's no government involvement whatsoever.
Why should... But the government as an entity is still probably not Jewish employees. Why?
No, his story is that they're not working for me. They're not working for me. When I go up...
You mean they're just doing their duty?
They're doing their duty vis-a-vis the government. FedEx and UPS and Amazon don't work for the government. They're private, you know, if the right Democrat president wins, it might be like that one day, hopefully not. But right now, there's private entity companies, and they're not mushabit to the government.
Where's the package to my house? Aren't I the beneficiary?
Right, but the question is, who's he working for? Right. So we've been saying till now he works for me. The prima godim says, no, he works for the government. The government has laws, and the laws are when you put a package in the mail, they have to deliver it. So he's not working for me, he's really working for the government. That's not true at a private company.
Could we be
working for me?
Who's paying for the shipping? In other words, if it's free,
perhaps
shipping, then it's Amazon who's paying for the shipping.
Maybe.
Therefore, the delivery guy's working for Amazon.
Right. So someone wanted to suggest this to me also, that Amazon is really, when you go Amazon Prime, the real chap is not when they deliver it, it's just you don't have to pay for delivery. That's really the whole godless of these things. So therefore, it's not so much when it comes or how. I don't really care that much when it comes. The reason why people get Prime is not just for the 1 or 2 day delivery, it's for the free delivery. Yeah. When it comes whenever it wants. So then it's a daita de nafshe. Then a taka would be muta. So even if I order it on Friday, when it says delivered in Amazon Prime, he and a hair. So someone told me that you can look on it, and they'll put in a little box on the bottom that will say, this will come within X and Y hours, and I'm not familiar. I know my wife buys tons of stuff online. I have no idea when it comes or how it comes. I just know it shows up at my door all the time.
Does it come on Shabbos, family?
Very often. I don't know when she ordered it, but it comes on Friday. So it comes on Shabbos.
The option of getting $1 off Amazon Media, if you don't force them to deliver.
Oh, that's how it works? Really? I keep on learning new things about Amazon, I'm telling you. Kavaldik. So I don't know. So I think if you're talking to get something on Amazon just for the purpose of it to get the free shipping, and you really don't care when it comes, so then it's not a problem. I'm not telling them when to deliver. They can deliver whatever they want. And they know they could do that because I can't legally hold them accountable if it comes later. I think that might make things much better. But again, sometimes you talk, they tell you that you could arrange it, that it should come at a certain time, so then it gets a little bit more slightly. Again, if I order something on Wednesday and it shows up on Shabbos, I'm fine. I didn't do anything wrong. Now, Belina, we'll get to tonight, what do you do when it shows up Shabbos, mukts and other things. But if I order it Wednesday, or in David, your case, Thursday night, and I, you know, plenty of time to get here, and they take their time to come Shabbos, that would not be at all a problem of Shabbos. So let's just wrap up over here with the different opinions, because I still want to get to Parsha Shkolim. We have over here the Sefer number 15 from the Orcha Shabbos, where he quotes from Reb Shmuel Orbach Zatzal. He has already since passed since the Sefer was written. Reb Shmuel Orbach was not convinced that this Chavis Yori is something to rely upon. He concludes Amira La Amira is not a heter. In the Sefer V'Dibar Tabam, written by a Sefer Yid named Reb Baruch Moskowitz, he lives in the Queens community. So he writes over there, he spoke to Abdullah Feinstein about this Shiloh, and Abdullah Feinstein's opinion is really what the Mishnah Brewer writes, that if you have a tzairich, let's say for example, you need to get something delivered in a very, it's very important. Let's say for example, you have medication that needs to get to your house on Shabbos, or maybe even legal documents. Let's say maybe, again, I'm adding lib over here, but perhaps let's say you have a situation where you need to fly out Matzah Shabbos to a international flight. You don't have your passport, and they're going to send your passport, and you're going to order it Thursday or Friday and do Amira La Amira. And assuming if you don't get your passport, you'll lose, let's say, a significant amount of money, or you won't be able, it will be a big tzarich, you need to get there to Israel, you have people to see, you have a, whatever the case may be, perhaps, one could then also be samech on this Chavis Yoyer, Amira La Amira on Friday, lit tzarich. And I'll place can talk about cases, let's say, for example, you need something, Matzah Shabbos is very important, you need your car for, again, important reasons, not merely to take a drive around, so then if you drop it on Friday, and you tell the mechanic on Friday to tell someone else, Amira Lamira, perhaps there is room to be lenient, but again, it is not simple and should not be used every single time. Definitely not for the Zappo shoes that you need. They should really be used for things of very, very important, very, very important matters. Just to wrap up, let's just continue on. We'll skip around a little bit. Number 19. What happens if you get an unplanned delivery? Let's say, for example, you told them, I don't want it delivered on Shabbos, I want it delivered on Friday, and they show up on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 19, "In banu enim Yehudim liYisrael b'ayis b'Shabbos." If, let's say, for example, someone told me this happened once, you hire contractors to build for you, and you assume, tell them, you know, we don't work Saturday. But they want to work Saturday. It's easier for them to work Saturday. So they show up, they start building. So they build an entire shul by working on Shabbos. So Rosh Hashanah writes in number 19, "In banu enim Yehudim liYisrael bayis b'Shabbos b'Isser." If non-Jews built a house, built a house for Jews on Shabbos, nochin lahach meshalich nesuba, you better not to go into the house. That house was built incorrectly. The guy may not allow to work for you on Shabbos. Says the Ramah, "Miu im hisli Yisrael meni Yehudi shalilas yisalom melacham Shabbos." Let's say I stipulated when I hired them, I don't want them working Saturday. Ve'eni Yehudi also bal karchoi. They don't care. They showed up anyways. The maher lahashlim melachtei. They figure if they can work Saturday, they get it done a day earlier. They'll be done the job earlier. But I told them clearly, I don't want you working Saturday. They showed up on Saturday. Says the Ramah, ein lochosh. It's no problem. So if I tell you, this is equivalent of saying, don't order it on Shabbos. This is not so much with the Amazon, but this is, let's say for example, you ordered a refrigerator. And you go to the store and they say, oh, we're delivering it on Shabbos. I don't want it on Shabbos. You tell them, don't deliver it on Shabbos. And then they deliver it on Shabbos. So, okay, I told them not to do it. They didn't listen. Not my problem. So Mishnah Berurah writes over number 20, Ratzaloimar, Sha'over al Tanai Shesti Mimikaitin. They went against the condition. Al Kain, therefore, Ein Loi Lochosh Lezeh. You don't have to worry. Tahainu Shein Tzarech, Lafilim Choy Zaloi. Oh, you don't even have to stop them. Let them work. Because I didn't hire them. They're doing this on their own. I'm in the clear. So writes the Mishnah Berurah. Then he quotes a Magen Avraham, Shemefaktik Ma'oid Bedinzeh. The Magen Avraham is very skeptical of this ruling. And he writes, the kiven shu mechuber, it's attached to the ground. How does anyone else know this? I walk by and I see they're working on your house on Shabbos. What do I think? You told them to work on the house on Shabbos. I had a few months ago in my shul, my shul is housed in a school in YCQ in Queens. So apparently they had some issue in the building that they needed to work on Shabbos. They didn't call me, they called someone else, I don't know who. And they got a heter to work on Shabbos. Do you know how many people came over to me that Shabbos and said, you know there's work going on in your shul on Shabbos? Because it's b'fahesia. It was in the school part, but it's all one big building.
And did they see it from the outside?
They were doing outside work. It looked horrible. I made an announcement Shabbos after davening. I said, please tell anyone who you know that the reason why they're working on our building is because they got a hetter from X and Y rabbi that it was pikuach nefesh. I'm not so sure it's really pikuach nefesh. Anyways, okay, they didn't ask me. But these things are mamish b'fahesya. If someone walked by your house and saw that they were doing construction on your house, they don't know necessarily the internet. They just see there's construction on your house. So the Magen Avraham says, no, this doesn't work. You have to stop the workers. So the question is, stop them at what cost?
This is all because of
Marisain. This is Marisain, yeah. So the question is, at what cost? So Mr. Brewer says over here, you should stop them. I'm in the last line of the small print. You don't have to pay them money to stop. You can request that they stop, but you don't have to pay them to stop. This is what we made up initially. So rules the Mr. Brewer. Then the Mechaber talks about a case of Mutal Lasis Len Yehudi Moit. Let's say another Shaila. Let's say I want Amazon. Let's say I want to send a package from my house. And I'll leave it in on my porch. And they'll come pick it up from my porch Friday night. Is this a problem? I want to let them pick up a package, not deliver a package. Let's say I want UPS to come pick up a package from my house and send it to somewhere else. And I order it and then they're going to come Shabbos. They'll come Friday night and pick up the package. Would that present any halachic issues?
You have control over that, so you really should be able to do it. In all the other cases, we're saying, listen, they may deliver it on Shabbos, but I don't really want it.
So let's work it out two ways. Let's say I told UPS, be here 3 o'clock Friday, and they show up 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock Friday. That's scenario number one. Or scenario number two is I don't say anything. I tell them, come pick up a package. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case. Number 21. I'm allowed to give money to a guy on Friday and tell him, go out and buy me stuff. But I can't tell him, buy it for me on Shabbos. I tell the guy on Friday, go out and buy me stuff. Now, he could buy it at 10 o'clock in the morning, he could buy it at 6 o'clock at night. That's, again, a daita dinafshei, it's his prerogative. But I can never tell him when to do it. So again, I order a package, I tell him, please pick up the package. When they come, that's their business. Let's say I'm allowed to give clothing to a guy to sell, but I can never tell him to do it on Shabbos. Let's say I hire a guy to sell something for me, and he shows up Friday night. I told him to come Friday afternoon, but he shows up Friday night. Says the Ramah, that is asur. For how you einshim ha'oise, and they used to punish those people who used to do this. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is this? What does this mean? They used to punish them. So it's a fascinating Mishnah Berurah, because when did the Ramah live? The Ramah lived in the late 1500s. So the Ramah says, if you used to pull the shtick, we used to punish you. Punish you with what? So Mishnah Berurah writes, number 22, Lefi oishoi b'mamon oi b'malkus. If you were wealthy, we penalized you. And if you were poor, we beat you. So in the footnote of Mishnah Berurah, they says, this was b'zman shoisi yad bezdin tekifa. This was actually when bezdin could enforce things. U'kahayoyim ein noyogzeh. This doesn't work today. Today, it's not going to work. The rabbi's not going to punish you. He's not going to hit you. He's not going to penalize you. But this was something that was a problem, the Ramah says. If you can't have the guy can't come to your house on Shabbos and pick up the schayrit to do. That's my sign. They did back then. Then they're even... Now it's it'll go something right. Yeah, even that's hard to pin anyone down. So again, so that might be problematic. If you're going to have a package be taken from your house Friday night, it might be a little bit more complicated.
Why is this any different from if you're in a hotel and on Shabbos the chambermaid says, "Can I make you bed?"
Because there's nothing wrong with making a bed on Shabbos.
Oh, it's not a chana.
No, you're going to go. So we mentioned this in the shir before. Depends. Usually making a bed is not a chana because it's not preparation for after Shabbos. It's to make the room look nice.
Oh, okay.
So it's not really a chana. Now, if she asks you and she says, can I turn the light off and on? That you cannot tell her. 100%.
Right.
That you cannot say. But the bed, you can make the bed on Shabbos if you want. Okay. So the bed's okay. But if she tells you, do you want me to vacuum?
You've just liberated me from the camera.
That's right, yeah. So we mentioned in the past that making the beds on Shabbos morning is not really hachana because either you're doing it to keep the room neat or you're doing it to get back. Or, yeah, you just want the room to look neat. You're not really doing it for... It used to be that bed used to be made in preparation for going to bed. It used to be made like, you know, they didn't take naps like we do today. This is relevant in Hilchas Nida as well. There's halacha in Hilchas Nida that the wife is not allowed to make the bed in front of the husband. So many of the places can say today the making of the bed is a whole different experience. It's not so much so the bed is ready for sleeping, it's just so the room looks tidy and neat. So it's not so much connected to going to bed as it used to be. So we never got back to this, and I want to get back to this week, is what about the 7-day delivery of the newspaper? Right? So those of us who get 7-day deliveries of the newspaper, why does that not present an amir l'nachri issue? when I call up to order 7-day delivery, in essence, I'm saying is deliver it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Shabbos as well. So again, you can play the same games. It's Amira La Amira. When I call up the newspaper, they're not the one delivering the paper. They're outsourcing it to the paper boy. And it's on Friday. And you can tell me Reba Bishurim. They're not only delivering the paper to my house, they're delivering it to the guy around me. So again, according to those kulas, you can play the same heter. However, as Reb Simcha Burim Kohn writes in his Sefer Nochel Shabbos, he spoke to Reb Moshe about it, and Reb Moshe held its Asa Gomer. Reb Moshe held, you're not allowed to have 7-day delivery of any of the newspapers, as was the opinion of both Reb Menashe Klein and the Debre Tzina Rav. So Menashe Klein in number 24, he basically says that this was not a new problem. This was a problem dating back to the 1800s in the times of the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer in Hungary in the 1800s. They also used to get 7-day delivery of the, I guess, the Hungarian newspapers. And the Maram Shik also was adamantly against it, holding that there is no heter. And therefore, says Menashe Klein, the same way that was also, this is also, and therefore there is no heter to get the 7-day delivery. I just want to read inside it because I found it interesting. The Be'er Moshe. The Debre Tzina Rav of Moshe Stern. So someone asked him about 7-day delivery of the newspaper, and he writes like this. Hayshafti, number 25 on page 4. Hayshafti, Aser. Now he writes like this. He says, Metfisa minyan godlo moid moid. Al kol ze b'chol, b'zeh ha-kol moidim. Everyone agrees. Masha hanar mevi o'itam yom ha-shabbat yomtif. But the little kid, right, the paper boy. Now, I don't think they have paper boys, I think now adults do it also. There used to be a paper boy who would deliver the paper. It was ordered specifically for you. No one holds this as mutter. Who permitted such a foreign thing? He says there's no rabbi that permitted this. No rabbi signed off on 7-day delivery. It just everyone did it, so it became mutter. Kaheta damila, they think it's mutter. Avo be'emes isu gamru. Then he writes, this is just, I found this a fascinating piece. He says, be'ein ha'reisi, lechera mespal b'shtibol, sheba boiker. He says, I saw one of these guys with daven in the shtibol in the morning. They get up at Shabbos morning. Hashkeim, come with me, toss it. They get out of their bed. Ubi'puzgoy shaloyin in their pajamas and their slippers. Pasach delas habayis lokach lo'iton. They open the paper, open the door. Take the newspaper. Sha'ach hanar zorklif nepischoi, because the kid threw the paper in front of the door. Ubeloi savi chazer nilamitosei. They go back to bed. Likras eaten to read the paper. Ve'ein ze ele chilo Shabbos kadosh. That's a great chilo Shabbos. Va'aromis yad of kedusha Shabbos, and they're violating the kedusha of Shabbos. But even gas oyum v'noir. It's terrible what they're doing. V'chidish godle be'enei sharabonim shayskim el oyer al zeh ulasu. He says it bothers me. It's a chidish that none of the rabbonim speak out against this. I spoke about it many times. I'm not afraid, said the Moshe Stern. I voiced my opinion on this. Those that ordered it have to cancel it. If you can't cancel it, so they just tell them, I don't want Saturday delivery. And they'll tell you, well, we're doing it anyway. So, well, you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for you. I don't want Saturday delivery. If you then decide to give me that, that's your business. I don't want Saturday delivery. You have to stop it. He says, the first place, don't get delivery in the first place. So I know for a while the New York Times, I think, was running, you could do separate weekend and not weekend, but I don't know what we're holding right now. Again, my humble opinion is to stop reading the New York Times and don't give them any business because they're a horrible newspaper for a lot of reasons. But in any case, I'm also not of the belief that if you want to know about the outside world, you have to only turn to the Jewish papers. I think that's also not the way to go. I think the Wall Street Journal is a fine way of getting information. But they also have 7-day delivery, I think. They have six. How does it work there? They do. So you can do it separately.
Kavaldik? No. It's a Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday.
But
it comes on Shabbos.
I
wonder if you asked them. I don't know. So if you can answer, if you call them up, you say, I don't want Saturday. They say, well, you have to. I'm telling you, I don't want it. So right, so you tell them, I'm not doing it. Don't do it for me. If they then decide to do it, that's how they do it for themselves.
So let me ask you, with a 7-day paper, you have a choice. You get 5 days, weekends, or you get all seven. If you order all seven, you say, listen, I don't want a Shabbos. Now you know that they're going to deliver a Shabbos.
Again, if you tell them that they're not working for you, they're not working, you're not their shlich. You don't want it on Saturday.
Or did you bring it into the house and read it? That's the question.
I'm not sure if you paid for it. I don't know whose it is. I don't know who owns it then. He said, well, you don't want it.
If they just leave it outside your door, you don't have to bring it in.
The bringing in is not the problem. They're still delivering it for you. The question is, it has to be that they're not delivering it for you.
How is that different from mail that's coming into your mail?
Because they're doing it for them, not for me. The mail, there, the post office works for the government. And the government says, we deliver on Saturday. Good, so they deliver, not for me.
Okay.
But here, I called them up. I said, deliver the paper on Saturday. But then I called them, I said, don't deliver the paper on Saturday.
Good, but if you tell them, listen, don't deliver on Saturday, but you know good and well they're going to deliver it anyway.
So I can hear one can make an argument. They're not my shliach. I asked you not to do it.
So is there any issue for them to read it, no?
I don't think there's an issue to read it. Again, there might be a Marasayan issue that the neighbors see you getting the seven-day paper and they don't realize that you're such a big lamdan and you would call them up. I don't know. I'm not sure. But he doesn't seem to be comfortable with these atarim because that would be a very simple letter.
And who is comfortable with that
atarim? I don't know. He writes, no one's matured. I don't see why. If you called him up, he said, I don't want delivery of the Saturday paper.
They won't deliver. They won't deliver.
If you tell them.
Because he's saying that you don't want it.
Right, so if you tell them you don't want it, so then I think that's the best case. It doesn't show up on Shabbat. And if they then say, I didn't tell you. You can't tell me they're not my shliach. I made it very clear I don't want them doing it. So I don't see why it would be a problem of shlichus, I think. So that's
it.
As far as I know.
You can't go to your guy, the neighbor guy, could you?
Why?
Same problem. Yeah. Same problem. He's working for me. Yeah. The best thing would be is if you could tell him I don't want it. Now, let's say you get a package on Shabbos that you ordered on Tuesday. Shows up Shabbos day. What do I do with the package? So if you look over here, number 26, and this is tricky. Many people order online for one reason, because they can order many things with the intention of returning. I know my wife does this a lot. She'll order a bunch of different sizes with the kids, try them on, and then we'll ship them back, right? Now, there's a problem with that. Why? Because Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, based on Ramon Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon writes in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you own merchandise. You sell things, and you sell things in your house. But you have merchandise in your house. That merchandise is Muktzah on Shabbos. Why? Because you never mix business and pleasure. The merchandise is for business, not for pleasure. So therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if you have merchandise that's not yours, but you plan on returning it, that is muktzah, machmas, chasar, and kiss, which is the most extreme level of muktzah. People don't realize this. When you have things that are going to be returned, they are off limits on Shabbos. They're muktzah. So if let's say you get a box, and there's many things in the box, and it's very possible that in that box can be things you plan on returning, especially if you know the order and you know what you did, so then... No, but then it becomes muktzah.
You have a bunch of items.
So some of, but some of it might... So again, so if you know, you can always say, well, it's a suffix. I might keep everything. But right. Sometimes you don't know that, so it gets. You might just want to be careful. Stamos day, people should realize things that they plan on returning is muktzah, very muktzah on Shabbos. Don't leave them around. Sometimes you forget, you leave it on the table, you leave it on. That is a serious muktzah violation. Now, yeah.
The fact that it's come from outside.
Oh, great. That's what I wanted to get to right now. Let's see number 28. If we're wondering why we're trying to go so fast, it's because we're still trying to get another share in tonight in the sugya of Parsha Shkolim. Because that we can't get to next week. So we got to get to this week. So if you look at number 28, the Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly that there is things that come outside the Tchum are not muktzah. They are not muktzah. Contrary to popular opinion, they are not muktzah. But you're not allowed to get benefit from them, which means you can't eat it or maybe not wear them. So, if a box comes out of the chum, it's not muktzah, but you might not be able to use the content of the box anyways. So you can move the box inside the house, but you're not allowed to open the box and wear the shoes or open the box and eat the food. So you'd be able to move the box if need be. So,
did you take your mail out of the mailbox too?
According to this year, Rabbi Belsky on number 32 has a tshuva like that where he says yes, unless there might be important documents in the mail. Might be a check. Might be a bill. Might be something of significance, which in that case is muktzah. So, Meikra Adin, Rabbi Belsky writes in number 32. Again, we're not reading inside because we are short on time. But Rabbi Belsky writes, if you know what the mail is, let's say, for example, you know you don't get bills or checks in the mail. Everything is automatic. So it's just whatever, you know, things that are not that important to you. So Rabbi Belsky writes, that would not be a problem. However, if you know you're going to get and this is another thing. I see people rampantly moving their mail around on Shabbos. Sometimes some of that stuff can be very sensitive. A check, a bill, usually a check more than a bill. But even a bill could be sensitive. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to misplace it. Definitely a check.
Is it muktzah or only a check?
Anything that you're not going to want to be careful with is going to be muktzah. You got to be careful with it. So I check more than a bill. If you want to take a read on number 32 in the source sheets, Rabbi Belsky discusses mail. But again, b'shas atchak, you could be soymich on the chazinish that holds if you metaltal muktzah shaloi kederech, that's how you kick the box instead of moving it with your hand. So that's probably yoytzo alashitis, even if there is muktzah in the box. So if you just kick it, I usually tell people just move it away with your foot this way. But again, it's not technically muktzah, which means if it's outside, you'd be allowed to bring it inside your house, even if you're just worried about it getting stolen, because it's not muktzah. If it would be muktzah, you wouldn't be allowed to move it just for a geneva purpose. So halach lamaisa, to conclude 3 weeks, which I didn't want to take so long, better to order things in advance, better to get the packages before that. But if they do show up on Shabbos, you can't, again, you have to know if they came from inside the Tchum or outside the Tchum. I don't know. You have to know where it was. But if it, even if it came outside the Tchum, it's not Muktzah, you can't use it, you can't eat it or benefit from it, but it's not Muktzah, you can move it, you can bring it into the house. That does not present any halakhic issues, unless you know the stuff in there that you're going to return. Then it becomes a problem. So I know in my house, a lot of the stuff in those boxes are going to be returned, which then makes it muktzah, so then you got to be a little bit more careful. But other than that, it should be okay. Okay, let's get to tonight's shir. Tonight's shir is Parsha Shkolim. This week is Parsha Shkolim. So let's talk a little bit about Parsha Shkolim. So there's a Mishnah in the end of Maseches Megillah, number one. Zok the Mishnah. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholis B'Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on a Shabbos. Kairim B'Parsha Shkolim. We read Parsha Shkolim. Now that's not the case this year. This year Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Tuesday, Wednesday. So when do we read Parsha Shkolim? Says the Mishnah. Cholis B'Seches Shabbos. If it falls out during the week, Makdimin L'Sha'ava. We go earlier, which means we're going to read it before. We're reading it this Shabbos, which is even before Rosh Chodesh. So this is the Makar of what we know today as the Dalet Parshiyos, and Parshas Shkolim is the first of the Dalet Parshiyos. Interesting, the Gemara reads like this. Zok the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. Be'echad ba'adar mashkim mashmiyim, before we see, let's see Rashi, number two. Zok Rashi. Why do we read Parshas Shkolim? Zok Rashi, lo'idia, to notify the people, she'yaviyu shkileyim ba'adar. So people should know to bring in their Shkolim. We'll see in a second, the Gemara tells us that they used to collect in Adar, the new Shkolim to be given for donation towards the Beis HaMikdash, and this was like the email reminder before the fundraiser, remind people to bring in their money. Now obviously, Rashi's saying this on the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah must be talking about when the Beis HaMikdash existed. Today, that can't be why we're bringing. We don't read Parsha Shkolim today to remind us to bring in our Shkolim. We don't have Shkolim to bring in today's HaMikdash. So Rashi sounds like he was discussing in the times of the Beis HaMikdash why they used to read Parsha Shkolim. So the Gemara tells us like this. Tanan Hasam, we learned over there, Be'echad ba'adar mashmiyim al Shkolim. And the first day of Adar was when they used to send out the email on Shkolim, v'ala klaim. That was when they used to clean up all the klaim. Anything that was mixed breeded in the fields used to be cleaned up on Echad ba'adar. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam, ala klaim des manzvi here. Now is a good time because now things start to grow again because the seasons start to change. Ela ala Shkolim and all. Why is Aleph Adar the time to work on Shkolim? Omer Reb Tevye, Omer Beishnah, Omer Kar, it says in the Pasuk, Zeis oilas choydesh b'chadshoy. Omer Teira choydesh chadosh v'havi karbin mitchuma chadosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to bring a carbon from new money. No longer old money that was saved up. I want new money. Since it's in Nisan, you need to bring from the new money, so you need at least a month to collect it. So therefore, kadmina and the karmina be'echad ba'adar ke'echad deleis yishkolim lemikdash. So we spent the whole Adar fundraising. So when we get into the month of Nisan, we'll be able to use the new money that was raised in Iyar in Adar can go for the new karbanas in the month of Nisan. Now the Gemara has an interesting machloekis. What exactly is Parsha Shkolim? Where's the reading? So everyone knows the reading is from Kisisa. It's actually Machlokes in the Gemara. It says the Gemara number three. My Parsha Shkolim. What exactly is the Parsha Shkolim? So Rav Omar Tzavis b'nei Yisov Omar Talihim is Karbani Lachmi. Rav says it's actually found in the Parsha Tzav. Shmuel Omer Kisisa. Shmuel says it's found in the Parsha Kisisa. And the Gemara has a whole half an omer of discussion of kashas on each one of the opinions, which one makes more sense. Obviously, we all know how we paskin that it's from Parsha Kisisa of the Parsha of the Shkolim. Shulchan Aruch writes in number four, Rosh Chodesh Adar HaSamach L'Nisan Shechalias B'Shabbos. The Rosh Chodesh Adar that's closer to the month of Nisan. What is that alluding to? That's alluding to a Shabbos when you have two Adars. When do you read the Dal Parsha? So the answer is in the second Adar. So you read Parsha Shkolim, Shehu, Kisisa, Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's in Parsha's Kisisa. So Reb Kiva Eger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch asks the following Shaila. What happens if everyone was asleep Parsha Shkolim this week and they forgot that it's Parsha Shkolim? Is there a makeup on the reading of Parsha Shkolim? So Reb Kiva Eger writes this, Imshach, if you forgot, V'loi Karu Parsha Shkolim, and you never got to reading Parsha Shkolim, Moitzin Sefer Torah V'Karim Parsha Shkolim V'Brach L'Fnei L'Achra. You got to take out a separate Sefer Torah, and you make a bracha before and a bracha after on Parsha Shkolim. V'im Leinisku Ad Achra, that's on Shabbos itself. V'im Leinisku Ad Achra Shabbos, let's say you forget, and you first wake up Sunday, Ein Lo Tashlumen, says Reb Kiva Eger, there is no makeup date. It's only on Shabbos. If you didn't get to it on Shabbos, too late. Even if you hold that Rosh Chodesh, okay, he has a whole cheshbin, says the Kveger, no makeup date. Says the Mishnah Berurah number 6, interesting Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Parshas Shkalim. The Amar Krakot says in the pasuk, "Zeis oilas chodesh bechatzel lechatzel hashana v'hayil chodesh yiseirus extra el oimat Torah yesh lechachodesh atatzorch lechatzel bavatz oilas temizim u'masafin hasam sheyivu shkalim." Okay, this we saw, but here's an interesting line. He writes, "V'onu mishalmim parim sifaseinu bekriyas haparsha shal kisisa." Why are we reading Parshas Kisisa? Because by reading it, it's as if we're giving it. Here the Mishnah gives you a different reason why we read Parshas Shkalim. The Rashi said the reason why we read Parshas Shkalim is because Parshas Shkalim is the email to bring the Shkalim. Says Mishnah Berurah, no, that's not the pshat. Parshas Shkalim, by reading it, it's as if we're giving the Shkalim. What's the nafkamina? Because the Mishnah Berurah, meaning what would happen if there was a Beis HaMikdash? Then according to the Mishnah Berurah, we wouldn't have to read it, we would just do it. Mashiach, according to Rashi, the reading is not the giving, the reading is the reminder of the giving. That's a very big nafkamina. Now there's a tshuva from the Maram Shik over here, number 8, where the Maram Shik is of the opinion that Parshas Shkalim does have a makeup date. Why does Parshas Shkalim have a makeup date? Because the Maram Shik says there's another reason why we read Parshas Shkalim. Because we know the famous Masechta Seifrim, it's also Yushalmi, that the reason why we do Shkalim of Echad Ba'adah is because we want to beat out the Shkalim of Haman. We know there was going to come a time in history where Haman's going to give Shkalim to Achashverosh. So we want to beat him. So Dr. Maram Shik, if that's so you should be able to make up the Shkalim and tell the story of Purim. So therefore the Maram Shik is of the opinion that there is a makeup date on the idea of the Shkalim, although that is not widely accepted, that is the opinion of the Maram Shik. Reb Shmuel Vosner, number 9, writes, very quickly, he says, the Maram Shik held, you are allowed to make a Parshas Shkalim, umistavr kashar Ephraim, says Reb Shmuel Vosner, I don't think he's right, I think it's more logical like the Shar Ephraim. The toilet davke by Oyster Shabbos, the current Dal Parshas, Vim Kane, Yeshmokam Loim, the Chen Yashlimu Bimincha. You can make it up by mincha. Da'adayin chiyav shal yom kaim. It's still during the day. And if you look at the Lashon of Reb Kiveger that we mentioned earlier, it sounds like Reb Kiveger that you can make it up as long as it's still on Shabbos. Once it's after Shabbos, then it's too late. But let's say Shabbos mincha, you can make it up by Shabbos mincha. So therefore, there is a sniff lahaka. If you forgot by Shabbos mincha, you can make it up by Shabbos mincha. That is the opinion of some achrayim. But again, I haven't yet heard of a case where this actually ever happened. But nonetheless, there is a possible makeup date for the Parshas Shkalim.
Well, it's interesting because according to Rav, it says Shabbos Tishah when I told him it's coming to Lachmi. That's Rosh Chodesh, which he would then do anyway.
Ah, that's what Reb Kiveger said. That's what Rav warned before. Now, what I want to talk about is an interesting shaila. How many Sefer Torah do we take out this week? Everyone takes out 2. Why? Where's the reading from today, Parshas Mishpatim? How long does it take to roll from Parshas Mishpatim to Parshas Kisisa? Not very long. So if the whole reason why we take out a second Sefer Torah is called Tercha de Tzibura, there's no reason over there. I understand when you're laning from somewhere far away, it's a bigger Tercha. So why is it the minute in Klaus wants to take out 2 Sefer Torah? So if you turn to the next...
What? They may not know
it
in the case where you're one side of the...
Maybe. Maybe it's a loyal plug. So that's what seems to be like from the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, number 12. Kol parsha me'arba parshas elu, echot koir oise b'sefer sheni. You read it from a second sefer. Acha shekoir in seder oise Shabbos m'sefer shahoytzi rishon. So what's the deal in the Rambam? You got to use 2 sefer Torah. Why? So the way Achrayim set it up is because it's a chashivas. Not because of Tircha de Tzibura. Chashivas. You want to give each laning its proper respect. And how do you give each laning its proper respect? Like each getting its own Sefer Torah. However, if you look at number 13, the Sefer Birur Halacha, he quotes that not everyone agreed to this. He quotes that Reb Shmuel Salant apparently was of the opinion, he writes like this, that Moira Hagoyin Reb Shmuel Salant, Loi Noag Bebeis Midrasha Lahoitzi Befarshish Kalam Sefer Torah Sheini. Reb Shmuel Salant did not take out a separate Sefer Torah for Parshas Shkalim. Kein tzarech legagol habi. You don't have to roll so much. Ve'ein kan tircha de tzibura. Rak is shechal b'Rosh Chodesh. But if it fell on Rosh Chodesh, then the Shulchan Aruch says you take a 3. Because Rosh Chodesh shekriyasa rechuka. That's a far much further. You got to go all the way to Bamidba. But zok to Shmuel Salant, regular Parshas Shkalim, it's only a couple twists. No reason for a second Sefer Torah.
Right.
So that's why some people bring a rye that you see from there, you're always supposed to have a separate one. Because then you could have just got away with 2. So many people say that the Chazon Ish held...
But what would you read first, the Rosh Chodesh and then Shkalim?
Chazon.
You really went where you can. You have the first Sefer Torah.
Right.
The second Sefer Torah is Rosh Chodesh, which is by Midrash, so then the truth man, you need to take it.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. No, you're saying right. Right, so we're mainly going to have to roll it. Right, that's a good point. So if you look over here in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu from the Talmud of the Stipler, he writes the following. Omali Mayvi Rebbe Shlita. The Stipler told me that Moran HaChazinish Hoyred, the Chazinish Paskin, Shebeshabbos Parash Shkolim Lohoisi Shnei Sefer Teirah. Now, why is that important? Because many people say that the Chazanish held, like this Reb Shmuel Salant, they only take out one Sefer Torah. Said Reb the Stipler, that's not the story. What is the story? Givaldika story about the Chazanish. Rak pamachas, hoyo yoitze mehaklal. One time he changed the rule. Beshonim uberes, there was a leap year. Shaparshis hashvu b'shabash kol moise gamkin kisisa. Oy parshis smucha, it was really close. Here we're a little further. We're this year in Mishpatim. But some years were mamish close. And there was v'tzoak hagrid. Who's the grid? So most of us, usually it's a Yosef of Salvation. That's not who it is over here. Uh-huh. Over here it was a Yosef Dinkelis. I don't know who that is. But apparently the Chazanish treated him with a lot of respect. Because this grid, Tainit, Shispal, Eitzel Morin, Shemas Begrak Sivitar Echad, he tied the Chazanish. Why do you think I do Sivitar? The Omar Morin, Mishum Kvoidoi, he greeted him out of respect for this Yid. That one time the Chazanish permitted one Sefer Torah. But Zakta, this was not the Chazanish Shita to only take it. One time there was a Maisa, there was a certain Yid, and the Yid was giving the Chazanish trouble, so the Chazanish said, fine, Bishvil Hashalot. And if you look over here, number 16, in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Svarm, one of his famous Svarm called Shein Halachas, he writes Mefurish, Parasha Shkolim, Moitzian Beis Svarm. You take a two Sefer Torah. If you look in Rivas Ephraim number 17, he writes that the Yedidi Agoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita Kasadli Bezeh, Zu Machloikis Yishon, it's an old Machloikis, Umediv Rapoiz Gvnir Shesarak Lahoiti Shnaim. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky was clearly of the opinion, you take out two Sefer Torah, and then the Sefer Bir Halach, he says, I got a tshuva, handwritten tshuva, in Tov Shin Nun Vav, from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, where he told me the following. I asked him, is this true that by the Chazanish they only took a one Sefer Parashat Shkolim? He wrote back to me, not true. I remember a friend of mine years ago who was considering going into the rabbinate. He later decided to switch career and become a dentist. He just finished his good move on his part. He just finished his schooling as a dentist. So he told me he went for a pro. Last year he finished?
2 years.
2 years ago he finished? So I don't remember. So he went, he told me he took a proba in a shul in New Jersey. It was Parashat Shkolim. And the first question they asked him, he said, Rabbi, do we take a one Sefer Torah or two Sefer Torah? Now he's a real shayla. He got to his first. He told me he didn't know. I said, maybe you shouldn't be a rabbi then. I don't know. Maybe stick with dentistry. I don't know. So it's not a shayla. It's a real shayla. So the Chazanish, so they asked him, Chaim Kanievsky, is it true that your uncle held, you only take a, he said, it's absolutely not true. My uncle held about, you always take a two Sefer Torah. Now, he doesn't say because of the Rambam, but the Achrayim point out it's because of the Rambam.
Then, the other
because the other ones are further away. Because by Zohar, everything's further away. The only time this comes up, because by the way, the time of the year when we reach Golem, it's very close. It's always so close. That's why I pointed out, it's about, if you hold those in Tzav, If it was in Bamidbar, right. Then it wouldn't be a shayla. It's right. Only a shayla because we pass that in Kisisa, so therefore it becomes a shayla. Then this Sefer Bir Halacha goes on rayas and rayas. it's interesting to me. He quotes, before we see number 20, number 19, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt writes, he says, the minhag today is to take out two Sefer Torah, don't change the minhag. I am not aware, maybe someone is aware, of any shul that takes out only one, but the minhag today is to take out two. And he writes like this, Kid the Meduma Shu came Nochon, Shabbat Midrasha Shachazinish, Haitu Pasha Shkolam Rak Sefer Torah Echad. This is from Rabbi Belitsky, who was a chosh of a rav in Eretz Yisrael. He says, no, the Chazanish took it only one sefer. Now, I would assume Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky and the Stipler would know pretty well what their uncle did, and they scream, Chai v'kayim, their uncle took out two sefer Torah. One time they took out one sefer Torah, that's because there was a yid there. Then he quotes it in the shul, the Chazanish shul, also known as the Letterman shul, there, and all the menhagim amiyas l'pi Chazanish, there they take out two Sefer Torah. They also under the ruling of Rabbi Chaim Graniman, who's a cousin of the Chazanish. So therefore, they write in Panovich, and in this he writes something which is interesting. He says, and even Chabad, who normally does not confine with the regular men, they also take out two Sefer Torah. So last month, there's no one that I know of that takes out more that does not take out two Sefer Torah. Okay, now we all assume Parsha Shkolim is a din derabbanan, right? We assume it's the Rabbanan. However, there's a line in the Rashba in Brachas that makes things complicated. There's the Rishonim in the beginning of the second parak of Brachas, for those who are in the Daf Yomi, you remember this, the Gemara is a machloikis about can you read the Torah b'chol loshon or not? So the Gemara wants to know, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm allowed to read the Torah b'chol loshon? When else do I have to read the Torah? So Taisus has this kasha. So the Rashba writes in number 21, he says, where do you find the Kriya Min HaTorah? He says, you have Kigoin, Parshas Parah, Upasha Zachar, Uki Yaitze Behen. So anyone that knows how to learn a Risha knows that, what does it mean? What's Ki Yaitze Behen? That should be it. Para and Zachar. End of the story. And I was talking to a Rebbe of mine who was a big Baki in Rishayim. He told me there's over 30 Rishayim who say it like this. 30 Rishayim. What does Kiyetze Behemim mean? There's others out there that might also be Daraisa. What other Kriyas out there that could be possibly Daraisa? So the Eliyahu Rabbah writes number 22 on this Rajba, Upirushoi Gamkein, Al Parsha Shkolim V'chodesh. Says the Eliyahu Rabbah, he thinks according to this Rajba, it's referring to Parsha Shkolim.
But can't that just be
the Rabbanan? No, but the Rajba is saying the Kriyas that are Daraisa are Para, Zachar, and others. Right. So therefore, Zok Deli Rabba, he thinks it's going on Para and Parshas HaChodesh. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says before it's not like this. Mishnah Berurah writes that the Dal Parshas are all the Rabbanon, but this Rajba, and again, 30 other Rishonim. That's correct. So, L'chay L'fizeh, you should not allow Bar Mitzvah Boy to read Parshas Kolom. If you talk a Choshesh for this Rajba, which again, is 30 Rishonim like this, there's a strong room to be Me'achmer not to allow Bar Mitzvah Boy to read Parshas Kolom, but again, that's widely not accepted. Even Parshas Para, right, which many Rishonim write is Daraisa, and the Shulchan Aruch records it in two places is Daraisa. People are machmir on Parshas Parah.
Right.
But Shkolim, according to this, there is room to be machmir, although that's not widely the accepted custom.